My dearly beloved in Christ, in today's gospel, our Lord refers to joy and sorrow. And the fact, and our own experience testifies to this, the fact that our lives are a mixture of joys and sorrows. And no matter how hard we try, no matter how carefully we arrange things to avoid sorrow, we cannot completely eliminate it from our lives. But our Lord also points out that sorrow, especially for those who are striving to serve and love God, that sorrow is short-lived and that it is turned into joy. Now, this little while that our Lord speaks of especially has a reference to this life, because even the longest life is short compared to eternity. So there's a little while of the crosses and the trials of this life, but for those who love and serve God, there is an eternity of happiness to look forward to. But we also can apply it to the little while that our crosses last in this life, even in this world. God in his goodness turns our sorrows into joy. Sometimes we can be going through a great trial and discouragement, suffering of whatever kind, great sorrow, and then in a short time it passes and we have our joys. So that modicum that our Lord refers to, that little while, we've all experienced that. Of course, we seek joy. God has so constituted us that we want to be happy, and we look for happiness, we look for joy. Although we find that there is no permanent joy and happiness in this life, that's why we are compelled to look forward to eternity. But we also know that there is a great deal of sorrow and unhappiness in the world today. Even though we live in an age where there are so many modern conveniences, you think of all of the inventions, all of the wonderful things that we have to make our lives pleasant and comfortable, to eliminate difficulty and sorrow and problems. And yet, despite all of this, there is a great deal of unhappiness in the world. So why is that? You might think that human beings who are alive today would be the happiest that ever lived with all of the wonderful things that we have in the world. Well, the reason, of course, is because, number one, these things of themselves cannot produce happiness. They make our life more pleasant, more comfortable, easier. But we still have trials, we still have the cross, we still have our sorrows. But the reason why there is so much unhappiness in the world today is two things primarily. One, because people seek their comfort and their happiness in creatures, in material things, which cannot produce happiness. But another reason, and perhaps a greater reason, why there is so much misery, there is so much unhappiness in the world, is because so many people are living lives of vice, of sin. They seek their comfort, they seek happiness in forbidden pleasures. And these things, of course, cannot bring happiness. Sin may produce a very short-lived pleasure, but it doesn't bring happiness. It doesn't bring joy. It doesn't bring contentment to the heart. It only breeds a guilty conscience and unhappiness. And that is why there is so much unhappiness in the world today, primarily. Because so many people have given their lives over to sin, and especially to the sins of the flesh. We read St. Peter at the beginning of today's epistle saying, I exhort you, you early Christians, he said at that time, I exhort you as strangers and pilgrims to abstain from carnal desires which war against the soul. So we are always going through, as human beings have down through the centuries, we are always going through this conflict of the spirit versus the flesh, temptations from our fallen human nature because of original sin. And we are very familiar with that struggle, that battle. But more than at any other time, perhaps, in the history of the world, there is this complete capitulation on the part of so many people to a life of sinful pleasure and the pursuit of impure pleasure. And this didn't come about by chance. It was very carefully planned. If you were to go back 100 years ago, and by that I mean, of course, to read about the way life was like, to read articles or books that were written at that time, you would find there was this great reserve regarding all things pertaining to purity and modesty, the way people dressed. It was a completely different world. But then beginning in the 1920s and 1930s, especially in the movie industry again, people, producers constantly pushing the envelope, constantly trying to stretch the bounds of what is acceptable, to the point that every form of immorality has spread in the world and has now become accepted. As I said, this didn't come about by chance. And in that regard, I would like to read to you from a letter written by a Freemason in 1838. And his pseudonym was Piccolo Tigre. This is quoted from the book Grand Orient Freemasonry Unmasked as the Secret Power Behind Communism. So in that book, this author, Monsignor George Dillon, quotes from various Masonic documents that he was able to find. And this one, again, is a letter written in 1838. Now, this Freemason is writing to a fellow Mason, and he says, "Don't try to conquer the Catholic Church by assassination, by killing her members. Because just as Tertullian said, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the faith, so the same is today. If we try to conquer the church by assassinating various members of the church, especially leaders, priests, religious, etc., the church will only continue to grow. What we have to do is to undermine the church, and especially by sowing vice among the members of the church." Listen to his words. "Catholicism has no more fear of a well-sharpened stiletto than monarchies have. But these two bases of social order can fall by corruption. Let us then never cease to corrupt. Tertullian was right in saying that the blood of martyrs was the seed of Christians. Let us then not make martyrs, but let us popularize vice among the masses. Let us cause them to draw it in by their five senses, to drink it in, to be saturated with it. Make vicious hearts, and you will have no more Catholics." Interesting. 1838. And that is exactly what has happened. This profusion, this spreading of every form of pornography and immorality, to the point, as I said, that people who years ago wouldn't have even thought about it, now accept as permissible, as lawful, various vices that were abhorred in ages past. So we, on our part, living in this society where we are surrounded by temptations, we are surrounded by these various assaults against purity, we must preserve ourselves first and foremost by avoiding unnecessary occasions of sin, not allowing them into the home, being very careful about what you read, what you see, what you watch. So avoid the occasions. Second, to live a good Catholic life of devout reception of the sacraments, attendance at Mass, prayer, the daily rosary, your morning and night prayers, your spiritual reading. And let us remember that God's grace will always be there to aid our weakness. And if there is anyone listening to this sermon who has contracted a habit of vice, never give up. Never think, I cannot overcome this. Because it is always possible, with God's grace, to conquer every sin. Remember the words of our Lord to St. Paul when he was troubled with temptation and he asked that it be taken away. And our Lord said to him, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And he says the same to each of us. Yes, he says to you and to me, I know that you live in a time in this 21st century when immorality is rampant, but my grace will be there for you to live a life of sanctifying grace, to conquer temptation, to persevere, to save your soul. The grace of God will be there if we do our part. And again, we must avoid unnecessary occasions of sin, because that would be presumptuous to put ourselves in those dangers. But we also must make use of the means of grace available to us. It is very interesting, this quote that I gave you, how this didn't just happen. If you think about the situation in the world today, which we're all very well aware of, with impurity being flaunted, it didn't just happen by accident. It was planned by enemies of the souls of men, and ultimately by the devil himself. And how he must sit back and laugh and mock at those poor souls who have fallen into his clutches and who are living lives of habitual vice. Because the devil, of course, has no body. He's a pure spirit. And how he must mock and laugh at those poor souls who have fallen into his trap, because he is the one ultimately behind the Freemasons and any other human individuals or group or movement that has sought to break down the barriers against immorality, to break down the morals of common citizens. Yes, it has been planned, but ultimately it is the devil behind it. Let us renew our determination to avoid dangers and to persevere in lives of purity with God's help, because that is the only thing that brings this joy, this happiness that our Lord speaks about in today's gospel. That is why so many people are miserable in the world today. So much unhappiness. People try to mask it, but there is so much unhappiness, and ultimately it is because of how these people are living. There's no true joy, there's no real happiness, but in serving God, striving to persevere in a life of sanctifying grace, which brings the greatest amount of joy, not just in this life, but especially in the life to come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.